Everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, December 20th, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond, the official narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate whatever is manageable. If you can, please mail in your donation. Cash, check, money order, you can make it out to RBN and mail that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can also have the option of using PayPal on the RBN website donate page. And please, folks, do whatever you can manage to help keep RBN alive, help ensure RBN continues broadcasting this uncensored content well into the future. Well, I do not have Mr. Stevenson here today. He is going to be back, though, folks. Don't despair. Just one thing after another seems to come up this month so far in his life, but he's not ditching BTON Mondays, so he'll definitely be back, and most likely it'll be on the 27th. Oh no, he won't be here on the 27th. What am I saying? Or wait, no, he will. Okay, he will. So we'll hear from him before the new year is here, actually. But this week is a short week. To remind you, the holiday season is allowing a break, you know, for the RBN staff who very much could use it. And so we're actually going to have 4 days, which will be off for Christmas. So we'll be closed on Thursday, the 23rd, up through and including Sunday, the 26th. We'll be back a week from today. As far as the new year, I know that the first, at least, will be off for New Year's Day. I have a couple of clips of doctors I mean to fit in this week with the short week that we have here. One of those will be coming up most likely, I don't know, probably tomorrow. I've been meaning to play a lot from Dr. Lee Merritt. And she's had a lot of extraordinary research, and she certainly tells it like it is, far more than many others. And for today, I have a very good excerpt interview, really, of Dr. David Martin. Now, many of you are probably familiar with Dr. David Martin as well. He actually used to be employed by the United States government to travel overseas to conferences on bioterrorism and studying how things had been progressing elsewhere in the world. Wound up being a whistleblower to some of this sort of research going on, wouldn't you know it, by the United States as well, and it's been speaking out ever since. As far as the expectation for the holiday or after the holiday, and these mandates, I'd say they're still going to be pushing forward. All signs point to yes. we see overseas just how much the propaganda is in full force. But here, let's go to the audio. I want to make sure I have time, at least in the first half here, make sure I fit it all in. And this is Dr. David Martin on Stu Peters. If you would, roll the clip, Julie.
Dr. David Martin has been spending the past year and a half fighting to unravel what he says is the global conspiracy of coronavirus centralized right here in the United States. Coronavirus may have first been identified in late 2019 in China, but Dr. Martin says the pandemic was planned, and you can see the planning start all the way back in 2015. Dr. Martin points to an event in that year where EcoHealth Alliance's Peter Daszak said this, quote, "Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, at an emergency threshold, it's often largely ignored. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, we need to increase public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process," end quote. Dr. Martin says schools like MIT, NYU, and the University of California are part of a group that he dubs the COVID pirates. Other parties include the American and Chinese governments, the International Monetary Fund, and BlackRock. Martin says that these groups are guilty of criminal conspiracy in a terrorist plot against the American people. And Dr. David Martin joins us now. Dr. Martin, thank you so much for being here.
Stu, always an honor to be here.
So take us through the criminal conspiracy. Who committed it? What crimes were committed? And how this can, the exposure of this can end this nightmare known as COVID-19?
Well, we got to go back to 1984 when Anthony Fauci took over at NIAID. And 2 years later, railroaded the first step in a global conspiracy to actually create a human dependency on vaccines. It is important for us to realize that the 1986 Act, which famously gave vaccine manufacturers immunity from liability and put that liability on the shoulders of the American people, was in fact the first step in a very long march to this moment in time. And the fact of the matter is, every single pathogen that has come out from 1986 until the present has unfortunately yielded a public that still is dubious about vaccines. And as Peter Daszak said in his very famous quote from the National Academy of Sciences in 2016, February 2016, the issue is we must create hype to get the public to buy off on what now is a gene therapy being illegally marketed as a vaccine so that the human race becomes dependent forever on the modified genetics created by a vaccine industry out of control. This is, without question, a financial racketeering domestic terrorism case, which has international implications and violates at least 7 criminal felony laws in the United States. And we'll go over those in detail, but we've got to be really clear on the fact this was not a public health emergency. This was a criminal conspiracy to create a domestic terrorism event, pure and simple.
And the domestic terrorism is the shot that's being falsely referred to as a vaccine. Do you consider this thing to be a bioweapon?
There's no question it is a bioweapon. In 1998, Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, perfected what was called an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus, specifically amplifying the spike protein so that it targeted human lung and cardiac epithelial and endothelial tissue. This was from a decade-long research he had done into using coronavirus to amplify cardiomyopathy in rabbits. In other words, picking a thing that was known to kill animals and amplifying it so that it would actually target humans. Anthony Fauci funded research in 1998 that was ultimately patented by the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill in 2002. And you heard that date correctly, 2002, a year before we ever heard the word SARS anywhere in the world. A year earlier, UNC Chapel Hill patented the coronavirus recombinant condition that actually made an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus specifically to target human tissue.
Take us through, I know some of the felonies here, lying before Congress. This has been done at least three times by Fauci in front of Rand Paul. We haven't seen a criminal referral. Ron Johnson has that authority. Rand Paul has that authority. But you say that there are seven felonies. Take us through them.
Yeah, well, so obviously the ones that are easiest are the ones that are self-evident. 18 U.S. Code, subsection 2339C, which is a felony which is punishable by 99 years in prison and up to $100 million of fines if it involves corporations, is actually funding and conspiring to commit acts of terror. There is no question under the law and under Section 802 of the Patriot Act, which we're going to get to in a minute, but under Section 802 of the Patriot Act, anything that is designed to coerce the public or governments into taking actions that they would not otherwise take is considered domestic terrorism, and specifically under the 18 U.S. Code, funding and conspiring to commit acts of terror is something that Anthony Fauci and his criminal conspirators have been doing since 2002, when we knew that there was, in fact, a successful NIAID platform, which was to essentially weaponize coronavirus. 18 U.S. Code, Section 2331, and obviously the following sections, which we refer to as the Patriot Act, says that any American or any act of domestic terrorism that ultimately results in the death of American citizens, too, is a felony. And these two lead us down to the felony of at least reckless homicide, if not full-on murder. The reason why I'm actually very careful with this one is because there is a published document for Pfizer that says that they have an acceptable death rate. And I want that word to chill into your consciousness, an acceptable death rate for their vaccines. That means there's premeditation, loss of life. And we either have a civil action about wrongful death or a criminal action of reckless homicide or murder, which is actually associated with any company that says that we have an acceptable death rate for the products that are produced. Obviously, 18 U.S. Code Section 1001, lying to Congress, is not just the theater that Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci engage in, but more insidiously, Stu, and this one goes to the heart of the racketeering conspiracy, when Congress and the Congressional Budget Office in the fall of 2020 asked for an accounting from NIH on the patents and the commercial interests that they owned in the proposed therapeutic interventions, including the vaccines and including other drugs, they failed to disclose any, and listen carefully to what I'm saying, they failed to disclose any of NIH, NIAID, or its affiliated organizations' financial interests in anything doing with coronavirus. That includes all the mRNA platforms, that includes remdesivir, and that includes Merck's most recent announcement that in partnership with Ridgeback Pharmaceuticals, they are in fact rolling out their new drug, which is like a, you know, remdesivir 2.0. The fact of the matter is, none of those were disclosed in the published audited report that was given to Congress in October of 2020. 15 U.S. Code sections 1 through 3, all felony criminal conspiracies for conducting commercial activity. And listen, in this one, it's clear and simple. To get to an emergency use authorization, you have to say there are no commercial alternatives. You have to disqualify every other treatment. And you know, Stu, that what they've been doing is taking treatment after treatment after treatment, even ones they approved in the past, off the table, so that the only solution that could be offered are drugs and injections that are, in fact, incapable of standing up to the scrutiny of genuine clinical trials and must be authorized under emergency use authorization only. They have manipulated the markets under three different felonies of our antitrust laws. And then 15 U.S. Code Section 8, market manipulation and allocation. Over $50 million has been awarded to the criminal conspirators without competition, meaning that the federal government is giving the winners since 2012, giving the winners money that is not open and fair competition in violation of 15 U.S. Code Section 8. And last but not least, this is the most important one in terms of the prima facie case. 15 U.S. Code Section 19, interlocking directorates. This is actually a law that's been on the books since the Clayton Act improvement to the Sherman Act in our antitrust laws in the United States. And what it says is that you cannot allow people with commercial interlocking interests. In other words, people who should be in open competition. You cannot allow them to serve on the same board and accomplish anything, because what will happen is they will have insider information, which makes their actions necessarily conflicted and by definition anti-competitive.
Okay.
Across the board, those are the crimes.
Do sitting members of our U.S. Senate and U.S. Congress have this information? Do they know this?
They do indeed. In fact, Ron Johnson has all of this information. Rand Paul has all of this information. And courtesy of an amazing group up in Wisconsin, Co-Publishing, every single sitting member of the United States Senate has received all of this information, and they did it about 6.5 months ago. Not a single person to date, save Rand Paul's one request for referral to the Department of Justice, not one sitting member of Congress has actually taken action on what we know to be prima facie. These are not, by the way, crimes that require investigation. These are crimes by their own admission. Remember that the quote you read from Peter Daszak from 2016, published February of 2016, which says we need the media to create hype to get the public to accept the thing.
Oh, and they've done
that.
That
is by definition coercion. That is a felony. That is domestic terrorism. And we must call it what it is.
This is premeditated
murder.
And they continue to do it constantly.
That's correct.
Over and over with new variants and the pandemic of the unvaccinated, and pictures and images of children dying from supposedly coronavirus, when we know that that's just an absolute fallacy. It's not true. They won't touch the death rate. We're not allowed to see the deaths that are caused by this thing other than on the very unreliable vaccine adverse events reporting system, which only less than 1% of vaccine injuries are reported to. So, okay, Ron Johnson has this. Every sitting member of the U.S. Senate has this. We've seen the grandstanding and the viral exchanges of rhetoric between Rand Paul and Tony Fauci. These crimes are out there. Everybody is saying, okay, our election was stolen right out in front of us. Okay, the audit was done. It's come and gone. Okay, this coronavirus, we know it as the plandemic. And Peter Daszak, by his own admission, is saying this was a plandemic. Documents and patents going all the way back to 2015 and probably even before that prove that this was a plandemic. So we know all this. Not a court in the world is going to do anything about this. We're just getting trampled over by this bureaucracy, by this beast system. What can people actually do? How can somebody take action to stop this right now?
Well, as you know, and Stu, I've shared some materials with you. We can obviously share this. We've got tons of stuff that I can make available to your audiences and your listeners. I have an entire packet that goes to attorney generals. But the key thing right now is to get attorneys general to do what they did when it was, you know, back in the day. Remember when the gremlin very famously used to get rear-ended and the gas tanks exploded, and it took a few people to actually say, hold on a second, these cars need to get off the road. And standing together, a number of AGs said, we're going to take action if the company doesn't. The company took action, pulled the car off the road. Just like tobacco settlement. We forget that, but tobacco settlement, what was that? That was companies that knew that they were making an addictive product. And ultimately, a number of attorneys general got together and said, we're going to prosecute this. We're going to end that criminal conspiracy. Every single time we have one of these, the only action that can be taken is a group, not one, but a group of attorneys general who actually are empowered by the people who elected them to do what they must do, which is to stand up and uphold the Constitution of the United States and uphold the constitutions of their respective states. The fact of the matter is, anyone not taking action in law enforcement right now is participating in a criminal conspiracy by omission, at least, if not commission. Stu, I had a conversation just a couple of days ago with a very well-placed attorney general in the United States who I'm counting on to take action. And I raised a very interesting point. I said, I have a suspicion that the emergency declaration that your governor signed did not come out of your office. And they chuckled and they said, well, of course not. We didn't write it. And I said, well, that's interesting. Wouldn't it be interesting to find out who actually wrote the emergency declarations, which shut down the economy of your state? And ironically, there was this chilling silence, at which point in time I said, and that we can only uncover with criminal discovery. Because if we actually have criminal discovery, we will have the ability to find out who wrote those freaking memos, because they start with recitals that we know are false. There was not a novel virus. The only novelty determination was made by people with a financial interest in promoting emergency use drugs. Let me say that one more time. The only people who have validated that there was a novel virus all have undisclosed commercial interest in drugs that could only be authorized under an emergency use authorization. There was not an independent member of the World Health Organization's International Committee on Taxonomy of Viruses. Not one. Not a single unconflicted party. So you actually have the people who made the determination that we have a pathogen happen to be the financially interested parties who only could get their drugs approved through an EUA.
I mean, it seems
that's
so
racketeering, pure and simple.
Yes, absolutely. And then the emergency use drugs that are in this AI protocol that is flooding the doctor's Epic systems. You have patient with A or B, you must do C or D, are all of the drugs from the same group of people.
Exactly.
Remdesivir is a perfect example.
Remdesivir and Merck's latest drug with Ridgeback Pharmaceuticals. People don't understand. That came out of the same racketeering crowd, Vanderbilt, UNC Chapel Hill, and so forth. And remember, Kizzy Corbett, the woman who was at the Vaccine Research Center at NIAID, who happened to be the one who happened to give Moderna the sequence for the spike protein that went into the vaccine, who happened to sign an agreement with UNC Chapel Hill to share spike protein data in November of 2019. Kizzy Corbett graduated from, are you ready for this? UNC Chapel Hill.
Can't make it up. So the attorney general that you spoke to, where there was the chilling silence, are you optimistic that that particular person is going to look at a criminal action?
I am optimistic that we may go down the pathway of getting something that's slightly better than an AG action. We have in this country and in most states very powerful laws to impanel grand juries and to impanel special prosecutors. And if people want to be very specific with what to ask their attorney general to do, we need a grand jury and we need the appointment of special prosecutors who have subpoena authority to go after these particular individuals, and specifically the people who we must seize their communication are Peter Daszak, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and Dr. Ralph Barrett. The fact of the matter is those three people, among a whole host of others, but those three people have written records of this criminal conspiracy dating to at least 2005, if not 2002.
There are a lot of viewers to this program that are tired of these rallies and these big ticket prices to go watch marquee values, celebrity politicians and candidates and influencers get on a stage and go buy my product and America will be great and chant hold the line and hoorah and fight like a Flynn or whatever else. But these people are tired of giving up all their money for this.
Yep.
What they want to do is invest their time and actually make a difference. This is an action platform, and that's what we're going to do. Now, Dr. Jane Ruby told me that you've actually been contacted by other attorneys general just from her promotion of, you know, the reach out to this, because we briefly touched on this program earlier, which is why I had to have you on. So this is something that we absolutely need to do. Without getting too deep into the weeds, do you know anything about this executive order, specifics on the EO specifically that Trump signed relating to all of this vaccine nonsense, bioweapon stuff?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's very disturbing. On September the 18th, 2019, the World Health Organization announced that it would do a worldwide exercise in the release of a respiratory pathogen so that we could get a worldwide acceptance of vaccine, right out of the playbook that you read at the top of the show. And the next day, within 24 hours, President Trump signed an executive order, which in fact laid out the pathway for this now warp speed of developing alternative platforms for vaccines. The possibility that that was not coordinated is zero. That was a coordinated act. The president did not write an executive order overnight, having seen, you know, the World Health Organization publication the day before. There is no way that one day separating those two events is even theoretically possible. And in his testimony on December the 4th in front of Congress in 2019, so remember, this is before anyone has heard, no one has heard of coronavirus. In fact, the World Health Organization declared it eradicated. But on the 4th of December, 2019, Anthony Fauci, in front of Congress, made reference to that executive order, stating that it authorized him to build self-assembling nanoparticle vaccines and mRNA vaccines that needed to be done through the Department of Defense. There is no question that this is a public admission that the administration in 2019 was manipulated and coerced into self-inflicted destruction. And I'm going to be really, really clear. You know I stick to only facts, Stu. That's what I'm about.
Yeah.
But there is something that is so deeply troubling in the sequence of events that I have to go as far as to say that if this was not acts of treason, I am shocked. Because at no point do I actually believe that on September the 19th, you know, somehow Donald Trump was convinced that somehow he should be issuing executive orders to the DOD to actually make self-assembling nanoparticles and mRNA vaccines. My guess is he still doesn't entirely know what those things mean.
So who are you suggesting committed these acts of treason?
Well, there's no question that Fauci admitted to it, so we might as well put him up where he belongs, because he, in fact, admitted to the same. The good news is I'm not making an allegation. When you admit to something in advance of a public health emergency,
right,
you're actually admitting that you did it. Your fingerprints are on the gun, and you're standing over the corpse. So newsflash, you're definitely there. Do I think he acted alone? Absolutely not. Look at the fact that in 2016, when the UNC Chapel Hill paper was published that said SARS coronavirus was poised for human emergence, the SARS coronavirus they were making reference to was their modification of WIV-1. WIV-1, Stu, is the Wuhan Institute of Virology virus 1. That was 2016, people. That was not some sort of wet market where somebody bought a bad bat in December of 2019. That was 2016, and it was called the Wuhan Institute of Virology virus 1 because it was the COVID bioweapon that was designed from the 2013 samples taken from the six miners in China. That means that biological and chemical weapons laws were violated by transferring a known pathogen from China to the United States in 2016 to weaponize a virus against humanity.
Okay, I got like 3 minutes left here, so we gotta hustle. I gotta get through this. But Rand Paul, why is he stopping short of a criminal referral here?
Good fundraising. Every time he does a smackdown with Fauci, he goes on all social media the next minute going, look who's standing up for America. Look who's holding Fauci accountable.
Yeah, and a big
and
donate
people
here
must
button.
Know that he is actually failing to disclose the October 2014 letter from NIAID to the UNC Chapel Hill researchers that said that their project was gain of function. Rand Paul has the letter in his possession. I know he has it because I know that it was given to him. And he refuses to drop the one piece of evidence which actually puts Fauci in jail.
So we can contact him and we can do all those things, but it's proven to be ineffective. He's not going to do anything. What we need to do is take this route with these attorneys general.
That's exactly right.
But it also doesn't do any good to donate anymore to Rand Paul either.
Nope.
Until somebody wants to do something and show that they actually are a person of action, I would say stop donating to them altogether and stop using this GOP win red nonsense as well. Okay, so where can we find these packets? Can you give them to me? How can we easily
I'm going to send them to you. You will have them, and then you will have the freedom to disseminate them. They are packages that were prepared specifically with cover letters. The one I'm going to send you was actually prepared for the AG in Arizona. But you will be able to cut and paste these letters, make them appropriate to your state, and Stu, you'll have them in your possession to share with everybody.
And send these by certified mail is what you recommend.
That's exactly right.
Okay, send these by certified mail. They will be on my Telegram. They will be at stupeters.tv. They'll be at redvoicemedia.com. There will be no excuse for not getting your hands on these things. Dr. David Martin, brilliant. You're a genius. Thank you so much for being here and for
always
all of your
good to
work.
Be here. It's an honor to stand with you, Stu. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
Network. Real news. Real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting. And we just heard a clip from Dr. David Martin and Stu Peters. Very incriminating, premeditated planning. Basically, it is clear that those behind these mRNA companies want the public to become addicted to these mRNA technologies. We're hearing quotes of acceptable death rates, even going back to the studies. And this other quote of significance, the fact that we actually have, so much which has been orchestrated in advance. Even Fauci in early December 2019, talking about the need for this research. We have Lark in Texas who's called in. Actually, let's hear what Lark has to say on some of these matters. Hello, Lark.
Howdy, Richard.
How are you doing today? Yeah, good to hear from you. Happy holidays.
Well, thank you. Same to you. I want to strike a note of caution for yourself and the listeners. And I'm going to provide for you some keywords that you can type into your search engine and make a determination for yourself if anything I have to say has any veracity. The first is, who is David E. Martin? Question mark. Just use those keywords, any search engine. Who is David E. Martin? Question mark. The second is a BitChute.com video. Dr. David Martin busted as globalist damage control disinfo agent. I'll repeat that. Dr. David Martin busted as globalist damage control disinfo agent. And I think what I want to illustrate is that you, when you are, digesting so-called news nowadays, first of all, you have to ask yourself, is that news that you're receiving coming from someone that's getting paid to deliver it? That's the first thing. You have to ask yourself, well, who is supplying them their lucre? Okay? And in all cases, what I've determined today is just about anybody who is being paid to deliver is compromised. And so this forces us to make determinations about its veracity with a heightened sense of discernment. And this is true of people that are providing incendiary news, okay? Because you have to ask yourself, well, if it's so revealing, so mind-blowing, then how is it it's not being shut down? Because all of the media today, the so-called big media pathways, are compromised, starting with your television, all your newspapers, and probably about 95% of what you hear or see on the internet.
I do take Dr. David Martin with a grain of salt. I mean, he says he had in the past worked for the federal government. Who's to say that that's changed and that he's not a misinformation agent, damage control, as you say? I don't rule it out, certainly. I mean, and a lot of the people Stu Peters has had on. Many people find the information and the people, you know, a bit questionable as far as just the sensationalism of it all. And how is he out of nowhere getting all of these people? So people have even questioned the whole Stu Peters platform for that matter. But I mean, yeah, I put out information of Dr. Carrie Madej as well, you know, from an interview he did with her. But with a grain of salt, certainly, can we even trust a lot of these individuals? I think it's a case by case basis. But I mean, yeah, it's very incriminating information. And I, at the very least, when he criticizes Rand Paul, I think that there is some merit to that, as Rand Paul does seem to be controlled opposition. I mean, he's very narrow in his scope of questioning, drilling of Fauci and what have you, when there's so much information that's just being ignored by him. So even if Martin is, he's still attacking someone else who certainly is limited hangout, I'd say, because, yeah, Rand Paul is playing within the system to a good extent, I'd say, and his attacks on Fauci seem more for show. And with that, at least, I am on the same side as Dr. David E. Martin on. He would have to be controlled opposition who's actually told to attack other controlled opposition in this case, in the way he's referred to Rand Paul. And so that would be a pretty bold move by the establishment. I'm not sure that they are quite as crafty as all that, but, you know, you can't rule it out, sir.
Well, the fact is that today, within intelligence circles like CIA and the National Security Agency, and, you know, their captive puppet sock puppets like within big media establishment and so forth. It's pretty much de rigueur nowadays to control both sides, even all sides of an argument. And the reason is because they have to control the outcome. You know, when you look at problem, reaction, solution, then you have a manufactured problem, you know, sort of like pick a problem, any problem. And there's going to be an expected reaction. It's anticipated. And so with that expected reaction that's anticipated, they have to guide the predetermined solution. Okay, this is what totalitarian governance or management is all about. You know, it's psi warfare. It's cybernetic warfare 101. And so we got to remember that. And the fact is, if somebody's being paid to deliver news, I don't trust them for shit. So with that, I could say a lot more, but I don't want to take up your broadcast. There are examples which abound today. Even people that say that they are exposing communitarianism and communitarian law, many of these people are bought and paid for, either dupes or shills. But whether they be dupe or a shill, the result is the same. And, you know, if you want to have a conversation about this sometime, just let me know. I'm easy to get a hold of. And I'll point it out and I'll lay it out as clearly as I can, because after all, I'm old and I talk slow and I've got more time on my hands than most folk today that have to go out and earn a living.
Yes, sir. No, I would look forward to that. I definitely do hope to keep in touch. And yeah, thank you for your call today, sir.
Have a good one.
Will do. Yes, sir. And an article which questions the models regarding Omicron here, folks. Let's see. I came across this. Let's see. It was authored by Fraser Nelson via The Spectator. The latest SAGE papers have been published, envisioning anything from 200 to 6,000 deaths a day from Omicron, depending on how many more restrictions we'll get, up to and very much including another lockdown. Earlier today, from the writing of this, it just came out today, actually. Let's see, there was a questioning the author had with Graham Medley, a chair at the SAGE Modeling Committee. He's a professor at London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Last week, they published a study on Omicron with very gloomy scenarios, making the case for more restrictions. But let's see, J.P. Morgan had a close look at this study. Okay, so the bank is on our side? Is that what we're supposed to assume here? I don't know. But, okay, they're saying J.P. Morgan had a close look at the study. It spotted something big all the way through. This London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine assumes that Omicron variant is just as deadly as Delta. So everything they're putting into their computer models, you know, is with that as the assumption. But you're not being told that, are you? Evidence from South Africa suggests Omicron infections are milder. J.P. Morgan pointed out in a note to clients, adjust for this, it found in the picture changes dramatically. Bed occupancy of COVID-19 patients at the end of January would be 33% of the peak seen in January 2021. This would be manageable without further restrictions. So J.P. Morgan had shown that if you tweak one assumption on severity, then suddenly no need for lockdown. Why was this scenario left out? Why would this fairly important and fairly logic and fairly basic fact, rather, of Omicron modeling not presented by SAGE modelers like Professor Medley to ministers and the general public? Well, it's very clear that this has been the case with a lot of these modeling projections for scenarios all along with all these variants, I'd say, folks. I'm very skeptical as to what the real motives are behind a J.P. Morgan. I mean, all of the banks seem to be in lockstep with this great reset. For one of them to do anything going against such would have significant consequences from the other insiders, I'm sure. And I don't know. There's a motive against locking down the UK in particular, perhaps at the moment, by the financial investments in JP Morgan. They're going maybe a bit rogue, is the way, if nothing else, I might interpret it. But we're getting a lot of varying updates. I mean, on one hand, there's a growing number of companies and organizations walking back vaccination requirements. Examples such as Amtrak, examples such as Tenet Healthcare, HCA Healthcare, Cleveland Clinic, some of the health industry related examples. And yet at the same time, we also are hearing that, well, there's a new power play on the side of the mandates and the shots being advanced. Appeals court allows Biden private business COVID-19 vax mandate to take effect, setting up a Supreme Court showdown. And so this was on Friday this happened. A federal appeals court late on Friday was in a split decision which ruled that the Biden administration's vaccine mandate for private employers of companies exceeding 100 people can take effect. 2-1 decision by a panel of the Cincinnati-based 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals dissolves the stay entered in by the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals last month on nationwide mandate. The rule issued by OSHA means that some 84 million U.S. workers faced a January 4th deadline to get vaccinated before it was paused. It's unclear now after the ruling last Friday when the requirement will be in effect. The case was brought by multiple businesses, including the American Family Association, multiple individuals in several states, including Texas, Utah, and Mississippi. We have another caller, Dan in Washington. Hello, Dan. How are you doing today? Good to hear from you.
Thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to let you know my signal might fade out, but I really enjoyed your shows with the BitChu video on Bill Gates by James Corbett. And I've been sending that to all my friends, you know, and I really encourage people to get that news out. Really good information about Bill Gates and his whole, how he took over the WTO and World Health Organization. The big plan. So That's about it. I just hope everyone sends that out. And I was really discouraged when I heard that court allowed the vaccine mandate again. So I'm kind of in a bad mood again, and I don't know what's going to happen. January 4th has come up. I haven't got a vaccine, but I don't think in the companies are going to push it, really. Maybe they'll just wait and see. But I do not trust the Supreme Court. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's ridiculous. I mean, on the face of it, as far as the fear they're trying to rack up around this Omicron. I mean, a lot are saying that this resembles actually just a cold, just a seasonal cold, as far as what they're describing, how mild it is. So supposedly one person died of it or being attributed to it in the UK. The UK health minister awkwardly admits one Omicron death as the government is preparing for more lockdowns over there. Just the whole idea that something could become more dangerous through a mutation. I mean, that has not happened in the history of science. Okay, all mutations we've ever encountered, we've ever studied, have always gone toward something that is less deadly, less dangerous to the host, and that is its survival plan. I mean, it might get a little more contagious, and that's fine.
That's why that's his own words. I mean, the mandatory, you know, vaccine passport, the control grid. Kind of like Alex Jones was saying 20 years ago. Again, he just seems to be coming true. But
yeah, well, yeah, right now they're running out of time. I mean, if this is the case, whatever is out there is more mild than... And I'm tired of even debating over whether it's SARS-CoV-2 variants or something else. The point being that if whatever is currently, you know, sweeping through nations this cold flu season is actually less mild than others we've seen in recent months in the last couple of years, then they're really running out of time to get their digital passport mandates or their vaccine requirements as a standard for the future, and that they're going to have to. Be in excessive lying damage control mode at the very least. But it's like, yeah, it's going to be high. And then with all the damage from the shots, that's the only thing they have to go on moving forward, is to hope to reattribute that to whatever they're calling Omicron, you know, vaccine damage and death.
Well, and it's weird because they allowed this vaccine mandate again, and then the CDC, that the CDC or the FDA recommended not taking the Johnson & Johnson, and they're admitting the myocarditis. And they're going to have to start admitting the negative effects of these vaccines. So it kind of seems like it's unraveling in a way, but they're doubling down right now. And it's just scary that we just had a state representative
we know how much there's a global push. It's not just in the U.S. There's a global push behind all of this where everyone's getting their marching orders from. And we see how much they're moving forward across so many nations of Europe. And, you know, the science be damned. You know, they don't care about the science. And so
we had a state senator die, and they don't really know how he died. He went to South America. And he was against the mandates, and he was always calling out our governor. And it's like a mystery. And it's like the way the media is reporting it, they're gleefully reporting that this guy died somehow. He had COVID. He was against the vaccine passports and stuff. And then goes to South America, and they don't know how he died yet. It's weird if you check into that story, but it's these people seem evil to me. You know, it's like when you watch the mainstream news, it's this is some evil stuff that they're doing here. It's, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. It's just the way that they were laughing about this guy dying, you know, because he was against the past, you know, lockdowns and passports and stuff. But I don't know. And then you got Germany imposing, you know, basically martial law on their people. And so we'll see. But then at the same time, it seems to be unraveling. But anyway, I'll let other callers get on. And thanks a lot for your show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for your call. And that I agree, getting that Bill Gates documentary out there to show how much of this has been pre-planned, which he has been involved with, is going back quite a couple of decades, really, regarding the whole meddling with, well, everything from vaccines to these digital ID plans. How it all merges as well. So I'm not going to get to too much of other news. I mean, we've had a lot of pushbacks in other ways. The gender conditioning, for example, a lot of parents are really fed up at this point. Parents erupted at a California school board meeting over alleged coaching of students into an LGBTQ club. And we've had LA schools hosting this LGBT club for four-year-olds, no less, promoting two-spirit sexuality and child mutilation. A 10-week online club for elementary schoolers all the way down to four-year-olds. So is it any surprise parents are pushing back on that. Google Documents, something that affects people, well, internationally, really, anyone who, I think it's insane to keep your documents in the cloud. It's just setting yourself up. Google Documents notifications are updated to restrict documents that contain quote-unquote hate speech and quote-unquote misleading content. Google announced that these will be restricting to anyone you try to share them with if they flag them with such, although you yourself will still be able to see them. Wow, isn't that nice? Let's see. What else did I want to try to fit in here? I mentioned about the expected future lockdowns. Department of Justice scrapes $450,000 payments to illegal invaders. ACLU attorney is not pleased on that one. Well, that's a tiny, a small victory, one victory, you know. $450,000 payments to illegals crossing the border. Yeah, you think that's a bit of an incentive for them? I don't know. So it should be obvious you're adding to a crisis to have had such a thing in the first place. But, of course, I know many are expecting a transhumanist future where it won't matter how many dumbed down people are here. They want people who are healthy, kill off the people who are not healthy, regardless of their IQ level, with these bioweapons, with these shots. And what you have left, well, these will be drones uploaded to the cloud. They won't really have any of their own opinions, so it doesn't really matter, you know, what kind of stock you fill the nation with. I don't know, I'd like to talk more about that in future, but running out of time here. Charles in Florida, I see, jumped on the last couple minutes. Charles, yeah. We just got about a minute. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll try to be brief. James E. Martin is saying that his own grandfather, the head of Aetna Life Insurance Company, headed a bunch of people in Wall Street that took over the government in 1904. And
David, they were preparing for the Federal Reserve. I mean, do you agree that, I mean, you know, he could be on the level? Because Of course, someone could put out information that he's a disinfo agent because he's doing damage, too, though. You know, I don't know what.
Yeah, it sounds like he's doing damage. He's for real.
I think so. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out whatsoever. And, yeah, we should get the information out there. But you take all these people with a grain of salt, especially when you haven't really looked into them yourself.
All these politicians basically belong to secret societies like our friend from Kentucky, a certain secret society.
Mm-hmm.
He and his father.
Yeah, those who are accusing Dr. David E. Martin of being controlled opposition. Well, what are those sources and what are those motives? I'd be curious to that as well. But, I mean, you know, his past seems on the level. And, of course, they would try to discredit him. But good point, Charles. Thank you for that. And maybe I'll talk to you more before the holiday, sir.
Yeah, okay. Good to speak to everybody.
Yes, sir. All right, folks, well, we will be back tomorrow. But please keep a critical mind and do your own research as well. Please support RBN. Stick around for Patrick Slattery, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.